Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval, grateful for you tuning in. Each and every week, we try to bring you some of the flyest, most fresh, impressive people from the creative cipher of Chicago and beyond. Today is no different. We have, first of all, a young man who is incredibly talented, a multi-hyphenate, a very dope rapper, musician, poet, organizer, cultural worker, father and father of styles, someone who I've known for a long time and is a good friend. We have Demetrius Amperon in the building. Homie, what's good?
What up? What up, man? How you feeling, Kevin?
Good, man. It's great. It's great to be in this forum with you.
Yes, sir, man. I'm excited, man. I love the podcast, man. I'll be listening all the time. So, glad you finally decided to, you know, let me on.
Well, listen, look, you have a new project that is emerging in the world, and you just recently put out a beautiful video called Real. And yes, so sir. It seemed timely to have you on. Love conversing with you always, but tell us where you're at in the process of putting this project out, and what's the video, how does it relate to a larger project, everything that's going on.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, you know, so Surveillance Alert, it's my baby, man. You know, I put out my first album about 10 years ago. It's called Real Bad Day. And I had done it fresh out of college, man. You know, and I think, you know, one of the things that I was trying to do over these years was find my sound, find who I was as a man, find my, you know, my steps with my daughters. And at a certain point, man, you know, we can get deeper into it. But, you know, after my pops passed, and I was like, yo, I got to really, you know, I got this hunger inside of me, you know, and it made me realize that I had to step into the greatness that I have, you know, in all areas, you know. And so this album, Surveillance Alert, is just basically about, it's a portraiture about Chicago, about the city, about growing up in the city, but also just being, a man in the city today. Raising daughters, it's that step journey from probably like, you know, I say like, you know, 20 to 30. It's really also just, you know, looking at the world from the lens that other people see these black and brown communities as. And it's really like, alert, you're being watched. Like, and so, you know, Surveillance Alert, I got it done. It's crazy. We've been working on it for about 2 years, right? And I got it done in like a month. You know, I was working with a few producers. My boy Alex Myung was helping me. I was over at Classic Studios. Shout out Darren. Shout out Classic. We were there, and we just banged it out, man. And it's beautiful, man. It's amazing. It's the contrast between the work I was doing and this. It's remarkable. It's night and day. And Real was the first single, and we chose that. It was the first song I wrote for the tape. And we did that video. It's exactly what it is, man. You listen to the lyrics, it's like I thought these niggas was real. I thought these people was real. And when you in the environment, you in the artistic community, in a lot of communities, you see a lot of fake shit, you know, a lot of fake stuff. And you know this, like, and I think what I wanted to do was just be an artist and set that brand and set that tone and the expectation for people to know that, like, I'm gonna bring not only real shit, I'm gonna bring honest shit, and it's not gonna stop. You know, it's gonna be consistent. So.
Right. Okay. So, and I'll say the video is also stunning, of course. And I know the homie Alex is, you know, on the directorial tip and behind the video, but the video is also great. And as you said, so it is part of this Real. The single is part of this larger project, but the project itself is it drops February 12th.
Yeah. Okay. It's February 12th, I'm releasing it independently. We've been on the grind with that. And so February 12th, the project dropped. We got Real is the first video from it. We got so many. We've just been working, man. We got like 4 or 5 videos lined up now. And just a couple weeks ago, I started this Demi Raps series. And so every week, I'm just committed to putting out. It's a song. They're still songs. They're their own songs in their own right, but just like these separate, like, short freestyles and vignettes, all leading up to the tape, man.
Right. And these are, of course, viewable on your IG page. Where can people find and follow you on the internet so they could, be in tune?
Yes, sir. Instagram, Demi Amperon. That's DemiAmperon. They can find me there. But also, everything's up. Well, the first single's up on Apple Music and Spotify right now and most major platforms. And they can just catch all of it there, man. The album, the next single's coming out there, which is going to be in about a week or so.
Great. And I know, I mean, I know that you you have a few different main collaborators, but what can we expect on this project? Like who can we expect to hear? Who are you working with?
Yeah, man. You know, I'm working with this cat mainly out in he's in New York. His producer called Broke Boy. I found Broke Boy, you know, just by chance on BeatStars. It's one of them like hood hip hop stories. You know, you in the crib, you just making music. You find a dude with some hot beats. And I hit this cat up after I made one of the tracks, and he was like, yo, like, we got to work. You know, we got to grind. And so I've been working with him. Also, I got Maceo from the Omis on one of the tracks. He blessed me with some vocals for a song about my pops. And then I'm working. My main collaborator is this cat named Johan. He is the next K-pop sensation, R&B sensation. You know, we started doing So Far Sound shows together like a year ago. And homie's a star, man.
Yeah, he is. He's this dude's amazing. This dude's amazing.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy with it. So I'll be writing songs. I write all of them, right? So right now I wrote all of this. I'm writing an R&B album for him. And when I'm writing some of the tracks for him, it's hilarious, man. Just the shit I get him to say is fucking ridiculous. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy, man.
Well, that's what's up, man. I'm really excited for the record. It drops February 12th. You mentioned, of course, like this year has been difficult for a lot of reasons, but particularly difficult for you because you lost someone who was so close to you, your pops. I just wonder how you're doing, and of course this is something that, you know, I mean, I know that obviously he had been dealing with some health stuff, but, yeah. You know, he was still relatively like a young guy, you know?
Yeah, man, it's crazy, man. And I openly get emotional about it, man. It's only been, you know, a couple, few months, you know what I mean? And so he passed away in August when I tell Edward Amparan, rest in peace, Edward Amparan, he was everything, man. Like, you picture a dad that was like, he's a working class Chicago guy, grinding, and he always had me by his side. You know, you tell those stories when you're older, like, oh, my pops had me on the roof or something at 4 years old or doing this. That was him. You know, he had me everywhere. He was the first person that got me into hip hop. We would drive around. So at the time, he was, man, we went through so many ebbs and flows. I could talk to you for hours about it. At the time, he had this Corvette, right? I was like I was 6 years old. He had a Corvette. And he was driving around. He would always take me around in it. And the first song I ever heard that I remember was a Pac song. And it was crazy. Like, he would play Pac for me. He'd play Nas for me in the whip. And he would tell me, like, this is real music. And he would tell me, you know, this is what you're seeing around you. And it was crazy because as I got older, I'm like, oh, this stuff that he's talking about here, I'm seeing on my block. I'm seeing here. I'm seeing X, Y, Z, which is funny because it leads me into, like, all of the things that I learned, you know, when I was at Young Chicago Authors, the organization, shout out Young Chicago Authors. But, you know, I think it's crazy for me, man. He set that tone. He's always been my main supporter. And so when I lost him, it was, I knew it was coming. I think I'd say, like, I knew it was coming. I remember the day, August 3rd, man, it was wild. I felt it in my spirit. Like, I knew it was there. And one of the last things he told me was, you got to get the album out. He was like, what are you waiting for? You know, he was like, because he's known I've been music. You know how some people, you talk to them, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I've been working on music for 6 years, or I've been doing 10 years. I've taken it seriously. Now, since I was 8 years old, I've known that I wanted to rap, and I've known that I wanted people to know me for that. Because I was just, it's something that saved my life, even when I was 8. Like, my first song I was writing was about, we had just gotten evicted from the crib, and I was just writing how sad I was. That I couldn't see my family anymore in that capacity. You know what I mean? And so, like, it's been ingrained in me for so long, man. And I'm just so excited to be able to, you know, put that shit together in a meaningful way, man. Like,
you know, I knew your dad, and I when I think of him, he does, you know, you said he's a working class guy. He is like a quintessential working class Chicago hustler, right? Yeah. So, What are you know, as a kid, you know, he's riding around. What are some of the things that he did, that your mom did, to kind of make it, you know, to get by? Like, what are, because I know your dad had a lot of different gigs, I think.
Yeah, man. You know, so my dad, he worked at Amtrak before I was born, right? So he did that for about, he'd always tell me about it. He gave me this pocket watch that they get when you like semi leave, they give you like this pocket watch. is going. I've always kept up with it. I lost it recently, but it's gonna come back. It always does. And so we did that for a while, man. When the first thing I remember is my dad having so much bread working for the Board of Education, because it was at a peak when Harold Washington was when Harold Washington became mayor, before I was born. When he became mayor, he gave a lot of black and brown people contracts in the city. And so my dad got a contract with CPS to do their HVAC stuff. So he was on, you know, and at that point in time, he like, yo, nobody can stop me. I'm doing my thing. And it's crazy. I remember this. I remember this thing of like being up to 3 years old, having everything I wanted. And then like the following year, like living out of a car. And I'm like, what is this? Like, what the fuck is this? Like, what's going on? And it's crazy because it's set the precedent for like how I raise my daughters, how like I live with people, because we knew that no matter what, we had each other, you know what I mean? And like, it was so crazy. And so I watched them, man. I watched my dad do plumbing when he didn't know how to do it. I watched him like, you know, get an eviction notice and then the next day have $700, you know what I mean? Like I watched him do some, you know, hella illegal shit I won't talk about. I watched so many things, you know, and I seen it. And I was always by his side, you know what I mean? I was always with him. And my mother, the same. She was, you know, hustling. My dad made sure she was so protected and cared for, you know. But my mom, she's a really personable type of individual. I think I got a lot of my character from her. You know, she was a salesperson. So she was a saleswoman for a long time. She loves kids, you know, and she loves working with them. Right now, she has a passion for helping victims of violence, be talking to them, just like in that interim period. She really is interested in it. And it happened after my pops passed. She was like, I really want to do this, you know? And it's just, I think it's a testament to like, they made me know no bounds. Their hustling made me know no bounds. Cause it's like, if you got to survive, what barrier is there that could possibly exist? And if you're doing it from, you know, a pure intent and perspective, you know, there is no barrier that can exist no matter how bad you feel, you know, and no matter how bad the situation can be. And man, it's crazy. I don't think people can understand. I don't think I can describe how close we were, man. Like we knew that we were just, that's all we had. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned your mom. And of course, one of the great things about being around your family is that, you know, you saw your parents together and you saw them like riding for one another too.
Yeah.
Which is something that, you know, none of us really see a ton of. And so, you know, so that was also a powerful thing to see. First of all, how is your mom? And I'm also curious about all the stuff that she did too.
Yeah. Mom's a straight man, you know, so she's over East now. You know, and, I've been working real hard just to make sure she's straight. And that means, you know, hustling and picking up all this traces shit that they taught me as a kid. You know, my dad left a big hole. It was a big hole and shoes that were way beyond the 90 war, man. Like I don't know how I do it, but I don't know how she does it, because she wakes up every morning and she's starting to, she's always had like a lot of Southern traits, you know. Her mom and everyone, they come from Alabama. So she's up early. She goes to the meat market. She gets her best meats in the morning. You know what I mean? She's finding her routines. She goes to Ross, lies, and uses the senior discount, even though she knows she looks like she's in her 30s, you know, and she goes back to the crib. She's great, you know? And I think right now she's just trying to figure out like what that next edge is, you know what I mean? And I'm trying to help her, you know, but I'm also trying to give her a lot of time. But what I know about my mother is, man, she's such a caring individual, you know what I mean? She can look, and that's why she did daycare for so long. She can look a young person, anybody in the eye, and immediately make a connection with them. And it's crazy that I'm just learning, I'm discovering her in a lot of ways, man, because me and my dad were the close ones. You know, we would talk. I got like thousands of voicemails from my dad. Me and my dad would talk like 10 times a day. You know, me and my mom, maybe once, you know, but now I'm learning everything about her. And I'm learning all the magic that I knew, but my dad said about her. My dad would call me and be like, you know, it's toward the end of his life, which was, you know, a few months ago. He'd be like, you know, you got to take care of your mother. He was like, please. And he gave me a blueprint, you know. He went through the steps and, sorry, man, it's just crazy. But yeah, steps and really tried to give me the last remaining things that he wanted to, because he didn't intend to go. He was grinding, man. He knew he was going to go, but he didn't intend to go right now. And so, you know, with my mom's, you know, long story short, I'm just trying to I'm just trying to help her, trying to love her and learn how to love again, in ways that make sense.
It's powerful. You say your dad gave you the blueprint, and of course, one of the things I'm sure he is a model for is for being a father, and you happen to be the father of two of the cutest little girls on the planet, who I know are a handful. Look, you do a lot. You wear a lot of hats, right? You do a lot of different things. I mean, you're an artist, and I want to talk more about the craft. You're also a cultural worker. You're caring for your mom. You care for a community, and then I would imagine your primary responsibility, in part, is caring for these two, your two girls.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Ella and Addie are my world, man. They're 7 and 10. I had Ella Amaya when I was 19 years old, man. I was at Valpo. And I think I might even text you. I was doing some, man, it was crazy. I didn't know it. It's so wild because now when I think about it, I'm like, man, it's such a blessing because my dad really wanted to see his grandkids, right? And so I was like, it was a perfect story you could write, right? But at the time, I'm like, shit, how the fuck? I ain't had no job. I was like, man, some artist gigs I could get. I ain't got shit. You know, I lucked up into some things, but man, they keep me going, man. When I tell you that my daughter, Ella Amaya, she has a drive. She's 10, so she's the oldest. She is one of the best younger MCs I've ever seen. Mm. And it's wild to me that I can walk around the crib. I had to set up a mic in her room. So she made me buy her recording equipment. Wow. She made me get everything up. She has a YouTube channel. I'm gonna let y'all know in a second. Y'all gotta subscribe to her too. Like, she has a little YouTube channel, man. And it's crazy that I think the work that I do, the music that I'm making, I get down with that part sometimes because I'm like, I really just want people to hear. But I didn't realize not only the joy in the process and having grace, but also the fact that that was planting such a huge seed in my daughter's lives. They think I'm famous. They think the whole world knows who I am. And that, I don't care if they're the only two people who ever listen to me, man. You know, and Addie's the same. Addis is my youngest. She's 7. And she's smart, man. A teacher hit me up the other day. She was late for a Zoom test. I must have been. I was sleeping too late. I didn't get them on class at time, get her on classes. So she had to do this little sight word test. She was like, we only got 5 minutes. We won't get it done. Addie aced it, not only in 5 minutes. The teacher hits me back like, yo, we got to figure out how to up her a little bit when she get back. Like, and I'm just completely amazed. You know what I mean? Like, I was okay in school, but these girls, man, they remarkable, man.
No, that's incredible. So now is your oldest then on the record or no? Is on your record or no?
No, not yet. Okay. So what we're doing is she really wanted to be. She creeped into some studio sessions. She been trying to. She sends me like a hungry rapper. She sends me melodies. She be like, Dad, I really like this melody. I like this thing.
Wow.
Like, can I do this? And I'm like, yo, are you 10? Are you 30? Like, what are you, you know, what's happening? Like, but so I'm writing an album for her right now.
Wow.
So her and I are making this like, you know, 5-6 track EP. I'll be looking for beats and stuff like that. I think we're going to go out to a friend's cabin and we're going to take a weekend and just record it, man. And, I'm getting her set up the right way. I know all of the steps to just, and to make it light. If she wants to do this, like I want anything she has a passion in, I want to like make it no barriers for her, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Obviously they're going to be, but I just want to make sure that she can learn and not have any impediments that are outside of my control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That are outside of my control.
Yeah. No, incredible. Well, that's a beautiful thing, man. So look, I want to talk about your craft. When we first met, I think I met you first as a poet and, and of course, like there's, the hybrid and also, every rapper is a poet. Most poets are not rappers, because it's, rapping is a whole different skill set. And I think the level of difficulty to really rhyme well is something that is pretty remarkable. You do both well. You said your dad was riding around, and playing you tapes, but you first wanted to rap from very young, you said.
Yeah, I was rapping first. The first song I put together, I was eight. My dad bought me this little HP, I remember, for Christmas, man, and I was making songs then.
Do you remember that first rap? Do you remember the chorus or the verse? You want to give us like something?
Low key, it was, I can't remember that one, but I can remember the one that I did for Firefight. So when 9/11 happened, when the towers fell, I had did a rap to all of the firefighters. What? And it was like, yo, this is D-Money. This is D-Money coming through telling y'all to stay strong, sleep well, and really know y'all did it. Peace out. Like, it was some whack, corny. It was...
Well, how old were you? You were...
I was like, maybe that was like 10. I was okay. Like 10.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So I was Ella's age. Ella's better than me, like I said. But yeah, man, like I was just, I remember that, man. But I've been grinding and I knew that I wanted to do it. And I was obsessed with, it was weird, man. I was a kid in like third, fourth grade, obsessed with like Illmatic. Like it was, you know, it was strange.
Why that record? I mean, obviously it is, you know, a classic work of art, one of the best albums ever recorded. But what drew you into Illmatic?
It sounded the most like the things that I was seeing, like the shit that I was seeing. You know, particularly, you know, so when I was young, up to about third grade, I was mostly in you know, around Mexican, Puerto Rican young people, and so like it was a different sort of culture. And then when I shifted it, I went to an all-black school, like, immediately fourth grade on. It was wild that, you know, we had, you know, moved a lot. And so Illmatic stuck with me because it looked like my walks home on Ashland. Like, it looked like, you know, the niggas that was on the corner. Like, it looked like, it just, it spoke to me, and I saw it, you know what I mean? Like, it looked like a movie. And I always wanted to, you know, just paint a picture like that, you know, because I think everybody always say, nah, that's Nas's best album, you know what I mean? Like, he never got to that again. They're different opinions, but I just feel like it did so much for me and inspired me so much, especially because he was young, you know, he's like 19.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, what, you know? So, no. Yeah, man.
So, yeah. So from that time, I mean, in high school, you know, that's when you and I met, and I knew you as a poet, but then as a rapper, you went to high school south. I know Morgan Park.
Yes,
right,
sir.
Right. And so you were part of a creative community there. What was it like, you know, rhyming and being a poet and starting to get on in an artistic community at that time?
Yo, it was crazy, man. I got so many stories. Like, I've never told folks what I did to like battle people. Like, there was a certain time from freshman to sophomore year, man, if somebody would have told me that they could beat me in a battle, not only would I like laugh at them in their face, I would go home the whole night and write like 300 bars about them and not tell them, you know what I mean? And just be like, I got some ready for you. You come to me. I got some. On top of that, I'll just knock that shit out and just spit some on top of my head. Like, I was crazy, bro. Like, I had asked my mom had to make me throw away. So my mattress, I would keep all my notebooks under there, right? Like all my raps. And I'm gonna send y'all a picture, man. But when I tell you my bed started like wobbling off and I fell off one day, she made me throw up my raps, my rhyming dictionaries. But like when I got to MP, I got in this circuit. Justin Speedy Calhoun
was
one of the rappers. He always has such great bars, man. It was crazy. Like, when we were in high school, I think we were two of the best rappers there.
Well, and speaking of battle rappers, he's become a great battle rapper, too, now.
Yeah, I'm not messing with him today. You know, he got them bars. You know, he's so cold, man. Like, him, there was this cat. It was a lot of rappers from my school, man. You know, Jeremiah was there at the time. He was a senior, I think. This cat named Schaefer Jones, amazing rapper who's out right now. And it was just... an amazing, like, skip class, go rap, you know what I mean? Go outside, go on the T, go rap. But then I would just incorporate it into my life. I didn't quite know how to put together a song yet. I didn't quite know how to, like, record, because that type of technology wasn't really, like, it didn't hit its precipice until I think a little later. So I was like, man, how do I get in the studio? How do I do all these things? So I would mainly just, like, do all of my songs a cappella, my raps a cappella, and just perform them. You know what I mean? Like, I would, any talent shows we had, any things around the city. It was a rap battle at Gwendolyn Brooks that I remember. Not only did I battle there and won, I went outside, battled some niggas outside. I was scared out of my mind, bro, because I was like, by myself, you feel me? Like, nobody with me. And then this dude come up, he's like, this the nigga that won? This the dude that won, man? He weak, boy. So we go up, you know, and I think that just made me tougher. You know what I mean? It tested a lot of the rhymes. But then eventually I think I hit a turning point is when poetry came in, man, because it made me slow down and create those pictures I've been dying to create. And not only was it like, oh, you're a technical good rapper, now you can step into something else.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, one of the things I always appreciated about you is that you were always a good storyteller, you know, and remain a good storyteller. And yeah, I think the strength of it in part is your portraiture, you know, it's like your ability to kind of give the listener, the reader, an appreciation of what you're seeing and you know, you allow us to see it with you, which is really powerful. In full transparency, I want to let people know that we work together at Young Chicago Authors.
Yes, sir.
What do you do there at the YCA?
Man, what I don't do, man.
Like, for real. Now, for real.
What I don't do. You know, right now my role is donor relations manager. You know, I do most of the fundraising, you know, aside from listening to Surveillance Letter on February 12th, you know, donate to Young Chicago Authors online. Killing two birds with one stone.
Right.
But I, you know, I do that there. Previously, I've held like the hat of director of publications and communications. And man, just been around at Muggs for like 15 years now.
No,
man.
I know. Well, and you know, and you are a real, you know, public facing representative of the work, you know, someone who communicates so much of what we do. But I think it's, you know, it's, I wonder for you, is it difficult to, you know, be an ill rapper? And then also, you know, have the task of, you know, helping this organization who, you know, develops other young artists and creative people. Is it difficult then getting folks to contribute to, because part of your job is to get folks to raise money and develop those relationships that will continue to fund the work of the organization, which you are, you know, responsible for.
Yeah, you know, for me, man, I never stop working. You know, I don't think I can. I think it was my pops. You know, I don't think I can.
Right.
As soon as I'm up, until I fall asleep without my control, I'm asleep. Like, it's probably not the best thing. But,
right. Yeah.
You know, it's not good for me. It'll catch up. But, you know, with YCA, the work speaks for itself, man. You know, the young people, I think when they touch down on stage, when I touched down, I was 15 for the first time on stage. Right. And I knew right then and there that I would never work or do any other sort of work that did not serve the purpose of helping young people like me. And what I mean by young people like me is young people that are trying to find their voice, young people that are trying to find their character, young people that are interested in art, young people that have been told that they couldn't do things, not even directly, but by the shit around them. You know what I mean? And so YCA, that work, man, I find so much joy in doing it. And it just, it feeds this part of me that needs to exist, man. Like, you know, and being in the community, and it's inspired all my other community work that I've been doing, you know? Yeah, it's dope, man. And then it's crazy, because I think these rappers keep me on my toes. Like, Third the Poet is a rapper that I think is amazing.
Yeah.
What's Jimmy and Jay Post?
Yeah, they have a new name. It's like Out Past Midnight or something like
that. Out Past Midnight. Yeah. Kara Jackson, like all of them, like Samira, like all of them, they keep me like, yo, this is the generation's code. You know what I mean? Like, it's only getting better.
Well, you alluded to, I have just a few more questions. You alluded to your other community work. I mean, you, during this time of in shelter, the pandemic, you've been doing a lot of other things too. I mean, literally feeding the people.
Yeah, you know, what I did was shout out the work that Dominique James did and her partner Trina. You know, when they first started doing the community feeding, I forget which school we were at. We were out south. When they started doing that, you know, I sort of, you know, took their lead. You know, what better people to let lead than Black women? So I took their lead and just started like going into the community. But one thing that I did with some of the leftover food was go directly to some of the blocks that I knew. And I know those blocks not only because I grew up in them, because I've done a lot of like, you know, outreach work with young people. So whenever I'm in a school or whenever I go to school, I try to make it a point to like go to the families in those neighborhoods. And I've been doing that for a long time. And so I was able to get that out. And then we, you know, we got a lot of strategic donations that made sense. One thing I'm super excited about though now, we have this scholarship happening at my mother's elementary school, Henderson, on the south side of Inglewood. We're starting this thing, actually we're launching it this Thursday, an essay contest for 7th and 8th graders. And so we have $2,000, we have $400 or $500 scholarships that are gonna go out to those young people. And whoever doesn't win, will still get like a backpack. And I'm working on some other things, you know, like other partnerships. Cause I'm like, I have all of these amazing people who wanna give, you know, not only to YCA, they can help young people directly where they sit, you know, and they need a lot of things. They need tech, they need, you know, food, mentorship. So just trying to create those connections for them, particularly in the Inglewood neighborhood, man, because that's where I grew up and that's where a lot of this a lot of young people struggle. You know what I mean? It builds character, but you struggle. And I want to make it a little easier for them.
Yeah, man. Well, good. No, it's a beautiful thing, man. Well, look, the your project service, Surveillance Alert is everywhere February 12th.
Yes, sir.
You said it's 2 years in the making, so it must feel, you know, it must feel like a bit of an exhalation that you're now sharing it with the world. Is there a reticence to releasing the project? Are you excited? Like, how are you feeling because this is about to drop?
Man, I'm ready to go. I'll tell you right now, there is nobody on this earth that can stop me from not only putting out this, realizing the greatness of this, from improving. You know, like, I'm not stopping. I have, like, when I tell you I have, like, 400 songs, it's not a joke. Like, I you hear these rappers be like, I got 400, that'd be scratch versions. No, I have 400 complete songs. And so what I'm doing now is I'm hoping to put out three more this year. You know, I really want to just build that catalog so people can come back to me. And I don't care when they see it, as long as they see it. You know what I mean? I've already had my daughter see it, so that I'm cool with views.
Right.
You know, I'm doing that. I've been, you know, meeting with some labels. I really want to get this out. Like, I really want to get it out in a meaningful way and just let people experience the work.
Dope. Well, we're excited for it, man. Give people the socials again so they can know when stuff drops. They can know where to get it first.
Yeah, man. Before I do that, I got to say, man, you know, the one thing that I didn't get to that I really wanted to make a point of was, you know, you low-key inspired like the way I work. Like, it's wild because I, you know, when I was like maybe, you know, like 22, well, it was like maybe my second, third year at YCA. I saw the way you put out books. You put out books like mixtapes. And not only do you put out books like mixtapes, you connect with artists like it's mixtapes. You know what I mean? And that grind, along with all the other shit you did, like, it made a picture to know that, like, you don't have to wait to reach any type of, like, moment. You're in that moment. You're living in that moment. You know what I mean? And that's what it is, man. So I just want to pause, man.
I appreciate that, man.
You my homie, man. Like, for real.
No, vice versa, man. Thank you. That means a lot. Yes, and thank you, man.
Yes, sir. But so they can find everything, man. Surveillance Alert, dropping February 12th. You can find me on Instagram, Demi Amparan. That's DemiAmparan. And you can find me by the same name on Spotify, Apple Music, Google, Amazon, all of that. We got it all together. So, yeah, man. Please rock with me.
Yeah, man. No, listen to good music, y'all. Support this young man. You will be glad you did, especially now. Get in on the ground floor. You feel me?
That's what I'm trying to tell him, man.
Right. Exactly. Well, Demetrius, thanks for being in the corner store, man. Appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all. Peace out, man.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official corner store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the snack door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the corner store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.